The
donut box.
The donut box. Carbs, carbs, carbs. We see it as bad, we hear it as evil, but what is it actually? Today we are going to do the 101 of carbohydrates and talk about everything you need to know the basics of carbohydrates. My name is Joseph Ashton, I'm a registered nutritionist and dietitian, and you're listening to The Donut Box, where we unbox stories and talk about things we usually don't talk about. And today, it's carbohydrates. So let's unbox this story. It's Joe.
And it's Elijah.
And you're listening to
The Donut Box.
Welcome to another episode. We're going to be starting a new segment called The Deep Fried
Donut.
No. Anyways. Oh. Okay. Anyways. So, I wanted to start this episode because I did post on Instagram. I wanted to make a whole episode on talking about carbs, fats, and proteins, and just talking about questions you might have about them. But I got so many questions on the overall basics of each macronutrient. So I realized we can't compress it in one whole episode. We have to divide it. We have to focus on one thing. So we are going to be talking about carbohydrates today. We're going to deep dive into carbohydrates. We're going to be talking about everything that you need to know about carbohydrates, or as much as we can talk about. Essentially, this is going to be a crash course into carbs so that you can know the basics. And we'll also be talking about some of the biggest myths. So let's talk about it. Okay, so let's start off with your relationship with carbohydrates. How have you been thinking, feeling about carbs through your life?
Carbs are so amazing. Every single food that I enjoy, okay, not every single, but like 95% have carbohydrates. And that's amazing because carbohydrates are very important. But yeah. Now I have a better relationship with carbs, but I wouldn't say so 5 years ago, 10 years ago. There was one point where I was eating little to no carbs, not even knowing that there was such thing as keto. It's just no carbs, you know. And I'm happy that I got out of that mindset. And I know a lot of people still have that mindset and are told that carbs are bad, even though they're not.
So I also have had a bad relationship with carbohydrates because for years I thought it was bad and I shouldn't be having it and I've been restricting it for so long. But then there was a point where I was told that carbs are good and fats are bad, so I was only eating carbohydrates for so long. And even up to this day, I sometimes feel a little tinge of guilt whenever I have rice. So it is definitely a process. But one of the most important parts of being able to focus on your relationship with food in your body to nourish yourself best is to understand or get to know the food that you are eating. And a big part of our diet is definitely the carbohydrates. So let's start off with a quick overview. You have two main kind of nutrients that you need, and those are your macronutrients and your micronutrients. Macronutrients, Elijah, tell us what they are.
So basically, they are your basic building blocks in nutrients, right? In nutrition, it's your carbohydrates, your fats, and your proteins. And each of these three things have their own special role in your body and in nutrition.
And they are called macronutrients because they're often needed in large amounts by the body, usually measured in grams. You have your micronutrients, which are essentially your vitamins and minerals. And they're called micronutrients because they're needed in smaller amounts, like micrograms and milligrams, to that aspect. So that's usually why you'll see in capsules or in nutrition information, there's like those different signs on the side that would tell or indicate us what unit is being measured.
Yeah, the pretty U or the pretty M. And that's like, is that an M? If you have that, it's like, is that an M? Then it's most likely a microgram or whatever unit that is.
Yes. And water and fiber are not necessarily considered as like macronutrients exactly. However, they are also needed in larger amounts. So usually when you talk about macros or macronutrients, we're talking about carbs, fats, and proteins. Okay. So let's get into carbohydrates. What is the main purpose of carbohydrates? It's really to provide your body with energy.
Energy.
Yes. So carbohydrates are your body's preferred energy source, mainly because it breaks down into what you could call your sugar molecules, or glucose, fructose, and galactose, you know? And this is often seen as something bad because we're like, oh, carb, sugar. But remember, that's also just what the scientific word is, like saccharide, like sugar is just the, it's just how you kind of define what the building blocks of carbohydrates are, and they're usually called sugars. And there are different types of these sugars as well, which we'll talk more about later on in the episode. When we talk about carbohydrates, you have your basic unit, which is your glucose, fructose, and galactose, which is usually what your body will convert into energy. Usually it converts at first to glucose, and then it converts to energy in your liver. And when it comes to carbohydrates, we usually divide it into two main types of carbohydrates. What types are those, Elijah?
Yeah, so they're broken down into your simple carbohydrates and your complex carbohydrates.
Yes, the difference is usually in the structure of the sugar. So I kind of like to say this as one way to understand it a little bit better is, let's say that your complex carbohydrates are extroverts and then your simple carbohydrates are introverts, meaning there are multiple sugar structures that are connected to each other. Those are the extroverts and those are your complex carbs. Your simple carbohydrates are usually singular or disaccharides, or like two units of two sugars. So they're very introverted. They're like, they want to keep to themselves in that sense. Even in the same way that your body processes it, complex carbs takes more time to break apart those sugar structures. So it takes more time for your body to digest it and absorb it through your bloodstream. Where I would feel like simple sugars are those in the party, let's say the party's in your stomach, and then you're just like, okay, bye, going home. Like, going, know? Like, they just don't want to spend time there.
To spend time there. Yeah, it's like, quick, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm out of here, you know? So that's how I usually explain it, because I think it gives a little bit of a better picture, so you can understand
of how more, to understand it.
Yeah, how your body uses it. So, introvert sugars, we'll just go back to the, wow, the main name. Simple sugars tend to be quicker used carbohydrates. They also tend to be lower in fiber. And your complex carbohydrates will be those who have more fiber. And usually you'll be able to tell with it being either high fiber or low fiber. So for example, complex carbohydrates will be your whole grains. It will also be your root crops. It will be like something like corn, and also something like rolled oats and wheats and rye, quinoa, adlai, and so on. And your simple carbohydrates are those that have less fiber, simpler structures, which could be the
sweeter fruits, table sugar, white rice. Is it white rice? Yeah, white rice could be and the pastries and snacks, yeah.
Not necessarily. It could be the sweeter things, but it's more so those that maybe have gone through more processes over time to reach their form. Oh, also, under complex carbohydrates would be your beans and legumes.
Right? Mm.
Yeah. So these are the differences. Mm. And I don't want you to think of it as bad versus good. Like, oh, so simple carbs are bad and complex carbs are good.
Those are bad. Yeah, no.
It's really more of understanding how they respond to your body, so that you'll be able to know what to choose in what specific times, right?
Exactly.
If you're looking for a more sustained energy source, complex carbs can be very helpful.
Complex carbs.
For blood sugar. And then
who need that fast energy source, right? Like athletes or people that just want to pick me up, then usually you go for the simple carbs.
Understanding that just gives us a better picture. And this is why knowing what food you're eating and what the impact is so important, because it makes it less daunting and scary or just bad versus good mentality, but you really understand that all foods do have its purpose in some way, shape, or form. Also, simple carbs that you pair with, let's say, an extra fiber source through vegetables or maybe some protein or some fats can slow down its digestion and release, making it a little bit more similar in acting to your complex carbohydrates. That's why it's really not just bad versus good, because you also look at it in the context of how you consume it in your diet.
Yeah, like this all goes back to how we were talking. I'm not sure if we did. Yeah, we talked about in a previous episode about glycemic index and glycemic load, where you have to look at it as a broader thing where it's like, yeah, that's the only thing you eat. Of course, your blood sugar is going to go higher, but you also got to understand.
Like, if it's the only food you're eating, that's when glycemic index really plays that bigger role.
But if you're eating a full meal, you have your meats, you're eating some sort of protein source, you have some fats, you have complex carbs and a little bit of simple carbs, all of that plays a role in how it gets digested and in how it gets absorbed in the body. So really, it's all about having that balanced aspect of a diet.
So back to balance, we mentioned fiber a lot here. So fiber is actually a type of carbohydrate that your body can't digest. And that's because of its structure and its form. And it's not digestible. What does that mean? It means it really adds a lot of bulk. And that extra bulk is what can be very, very helpful in your bowel movements. And we actually have two types of fiber, which is your soluble and your insoluble. Soluble meaning it can absorb water, and then insoluble meaning it can't absorb water.
It can't absorb water, yep.
Yeah. So when you say soluble fiber, this is usually what we would recommend to add if you have cholesterol issues or blood sugar problems, because it really helps with that. Although, so does the insoluble fiber. Although insoluble fiber would play also a bigger role in motility of your, motility of your bowel.
Bowel movements, yeah.
In general. Yeah. So they both play big roles, but we also do want to have as much as possible both soluble and insoluble fiber when it comes to our dietary choices. Okay. So, yes, that's essentially your carbohydrates in a nutshell, right? You have complex and simple. You have your fiber. They play a role with energy balance. All right, let's dive into some of the common misconceptions.
It's not a myth, but I guess it's more of a common question that you would often hear from people is, how much carbohydrates should I be eating?
So this is a boring answer. Like, everybody hates this answer for sure, but it really depends. Okay, and that is such a big, what did you think I was gonna say?
I don't know, some random formula or something.
That, you mean that boring?
yeah.
But it's a boring answer because it depends. This is why when people message me and they're like, what should I be eating if I have diabetes? What should I be eating? Or can you share a diabetic-friendly recipe? Can you share a kidney-friendly recipe? And so on. I don't want to just share it straight up, because it always depends on the individual. Right, there are certain nuances to everybody's condition that we have to be aware of. And so while I like to share general guidelines, you have to remember that at the end of the day, everybody is different. And while something may be beneficial for one individual here, somebody on the other end might not be doing good with that. So an example of this is protein. Gym information or gym advice is eat more protein. But for somebody with kidney concerns, eating more protein is actually...
That's really bad. Yeah. That can cause even worse damage to your kidneys.
Exactly. So when it comes to carbohydrates, there is a certain range that we would recommend, anywhere from 45 up to 65% of your total intake or your total needs. And this changes because it depends on your activity level. It depends on if you are... working on endurance, like the type of exercise you're doing. It also depends if you have diabetes or anything like that. So one thing we can start off using as a guide would be the plate method. The plate method, you can also look at like the Pinggang Pinoy, which shows you that a fourth of your plate would be filled with carbohydrates, a fourth of it would be protein, and then the other half would be for your fruits and veggies. you can start off by filling your plate in that way. And then if you still feel like you need a little bit more carbohydrates, either for taste or maybe for energy, then you can add from there. But again, everybody is different. And it would be very, very important to consult with your dietitian or be more curious and assess how much carbohydrates make you feel comfortable and feel energized, while how much may also not make you feel your best.
Yeah, like lethargic or too full or any of that. Yeah, so let's get into the myths.
Yes, go for it.
Yeah. Myth number one. A carb is a carb whether it's chocolate, candies, or fruits. I think we kind of answered this earlier in a sense, right? Because we talked about how there's simple carbohydrates, and you have your complex carbohydrates. You have lactose, galactose, fructose, glucose, and you have all these different things, right? So in that sense, it's like, are they really?
Well, the truth is, a carb is a carb in the sense that, yes, a carb is literally a carbohydrate. Like, that statement in itself is, yes, a carbohydrate is a carbohydrate. But I think this mostly comes from the thought of, like, people always say sugar is sugar. You know, they're always like, sugar is sugar and all sugar is bad. And then we would go back to, well, no, because not all sugar is absorbed in your body in the same way. And not all sugar impacts your body in that same way as well. And so the reason why this statement of a carb is a carb or a sugar is a sugar can be detrimental to somebody's relationship with food is because most of the time we're thinking sugar is sugar. If sugar is from wheat bread versus sugar from table sugar, they're the same thing. You're going to think, I'm not going to eat wheat bread anymore. When wheat bread actually has fiber, it also has a lot of vitamins and minerals that your body is going to utilize and it's going to need. So for me, a carb is a carb in the literal sense, but in the way that your body uses it or needs it or processes it, that can be very, very different.
It's like case-to-case basis, food-to-food basis.
Diet-to-diet.
And like what we said, diet basis. Mm-hmm. And like what we said earlier, are you eating a balanced meal? So like even the way it gets absorbed is so much different by just like, you know, yes, a carb is a carb. But if you eat chocolates by itself, the absorption is different if you eat chocolates with something else.
Yes.
You know?
Or like we mentioned, rice. Most of the time people say like, oh yeah, rice is bad. Like, white rice is bad because it's equivalent of like 16 teaspoons of sugar. By the way, I'm just inflating the number. It's not the exact or anything like that. But that's different. Like, if you look at your nutrition facts on any food item that you buy, you will be able to see their carbohydrates. So when it says carbohydrates, underneath it says fiber and then it has added sugars. So there's a difference between the sugar that you get from the food itself, natural source like rice and fruits and bread, versus your table sugar, which is your white sugar, your brown sugar, your honey, and so on, right? Those are usually your added sugars. And those are not necessarily bad, but they will have a very different response compared to another type of carbohydrate that often has even just 1 gram of fiber and other vitamins and minerals.
Exactly. And one thing I'd like to like add to this is when a carb is a carb, carbs are bad. But then you look at countries like Japan where rice intake is very prominent. They would have it in almost every meal, even in the morning. One of their favorite meals is rice with dried fish in the morning. And then they're one of the healthiest.
Hey, that's like us. We have, what is it?
They have mackerel, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But they're one of the healthiest countries in the world with one of the highest, if not the highest, life expectancies in the entire world. But you're going to be like, oh, but it's because they eat a lot of fish. And they're like, see, you just disproved yourself. It's because they have a balanced diet. They have different things they eat. And they can eat a lot of these rice because, one, they have a very active lifestyle. They walk a lot. They eat different foods, they eat vegetables, they eat fish, they eat, you know, and it's not just rice. So that already proves it wrong. Like, oh, carbs are bad, so you should stop eating rice. But you have real life examples of people who eat a lot of rice and they're one of the healthiest peoples in the world.
Exactly. I think also a lot of rice is bad, does come from Western advice, where they don't have a lot of rice in their diet, you know, and there are so many Asian countries that have rice as a staple, right? Western countries have, I guess, potatoes as their staple. So it's very different. And I think that also comes into the, if you don't understand somebody's culture and then you're telling them a staple food in their diet is very, very bad without understanding all of these other factors that also plays a very big role on a lot of diet misinformation in general, you know?
Okay. Myth number two. So the second myth that we have is, you'll burn more fat if you cut carbs.
I mean, yeah, because if you're cutting bread, it takes a bit of energy to like cut the bread. Versus if you just ate the whole loaf, you didn't spend that extra energy of like cutting the loaf. You know.
Okay, myth number five. Okay, so, that was fast. Thanks.
Okay, so this often comes from the idea that if you consume carbs, it converts into fat. Versus if you consume fat, okay, I don't get the logic, but they say that if you consume fat, it won't turn into fat. Like, at least that's what the whole idea is, you know. But technically, if you consume fat, it's actually easier to convert it into fat in the body, versus carbohydrates would have to be used for other processes first before any of the excess would convert. And I'm not saying that all fat you eat is going to store as fat either.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways... there's like a lot to talk about in that one. Okay, so actually your body can utilize anything as energy if it's lacking energy.
Energy, yep, through a process called gluconeogenesis.
Yes, or new energy. Glucose new creation. I was like, gluconeogenesis.
Yeah, in the name itself, glucose, neo, new, genesis, to make.
Yeah.
So making
new
glucose.
New glucose. Yeah, making new glucose.
Yes.
And that could be cool. From protein. So like your muscles, if you have a lack of energy, it can tap into your muscles. It can also tap into your fat stores. And the thought here
But that's so inefficient.
Yeah, it tends to be quite inefficient and even dangerous if you're using protein as your energy source. But there's a difference from the food that you're eating as energy versus your body tapping into stored sources of energy. So the thought here is, if I eat carbohydrates, it's going to be the first thing used for energy. So my body is not going to be using any fat stores ever because carbs is going to be there always on top. So yes, carbs are first used as energy, but you have to look at how much you're consuming in general, because it will come down to your calorie intake, whether or not your body will tap into stored energy or immediate energy that it gets from food. Right? Whether or not that's carbs, fats, or protein doesn't matter. If you're going to overeat fats, same thing would happen. If you're going to overeat protein, same thing would happen. Although it's a bit harder to overeat protein, for example, because you tend to get full longer. And also, imagine eating so much protein. Like, imagine eating like a whole pound of chicken breast.
Oh my god. And then imagine you making it dry and just like having to go through that chewing.
Yeah.
I've gone through that and it's not fun.
It tends to be, I think, easier to overeat fats and carbs, just because carbs are so much more like mentally satiating. And then fats tend to be like in smaller amounts for a higher calorie
like it's hard,
value.
Yeah, it's hard for you to like gauge, I guess. Even like when it comes to cooking, like sometimes you don't know how much oil you're actually putting in the dish, and you're actually ending up putting three times the amount of fat that you need.
I mean, nothing wrong with that, you know, but like
nothing wrong with that.
But like
it's to tricky. Look at
that.
It's tricky.
Yeah, to look at that as like, which one? Well, I mean, would carbs keep you from burning fat? It really depends on the overall consumption of food in general in your diet. That's why balance is important for satiety, and also mindfulness is very important as well.
Exactly. Okay. Myth number three. Carbs are not good for your health.
Okay. So this myth comes again from the idea that we had in the beginning, which was like sugar is sugar, carbs are sugar, therefore carbs must be bad, and carbohydrates have nothing else to offer your body. But again, like we mentioned from our what do you call that? Our deep dive a while ago.
Deep dive.
Carbohydrates, number one, they are your energy source. So that's a very important yep. role it plays. Number two, mm-hmm. most carbohydrates will have fiber, and fiber is an essential and necessary part of your overall health. And number three, mm-hmm. carbohydrates and no food is that food on its own. They also have micronutrients attached to it. And carbohydrates will have your B vitamins. It will have iron, sometimes even calcium, and magnesium, and phosphorus, and so on. And so they offer more than just carbohydrates in themselves. They offer all of these other nutrients as well.
Exactly. And you actually like going back to how it uses it as energy, you have some cells that are solely dependent on carbohydrates, on glucose. And these are your RBCs, your red blood cells. And for the majority of the time, if you are including carbs in your diet, those are your brain cells. And then those are those rare cases that if you have no carbs, right, it relies on ketones, which comes from your fats. But for the most part, in order for your brain to function at its best and for your blood to function at its best, blood cells to function at its best, you need carbs. And again, like what we talked about earlier, a lot of your complex carbohydrates come as fiber-rich sources, right? So when you intake these things and you eat a lot of fiber is good for you. One, as we talked about, it helps clean your colon, which helps prevent a lot of things like colon cancer. But at the same time, it can actually help with managing cholesterol levels. How does it do that? Well, fiber, for the most part, cannot be digested, right? It goes something, right? When you eat corn, you eat it.
It's just bulk.
Yeah, you eat corn and it comes out as corn. So back to what I was saying, since it is indigestible, it goes through you. And what happens is that with it, it takes the cholesterol in your intestines and takes it with it.
So that is why, yeah, that's what soluble fiber does. So part of that solubility is it will take some cholesterol, excess cholesterol in your gut and in your intestines. That's how it gets rid of that excess.
Mm-hmm. Fiber is also shown to lower blood sugar levels, help with hypertension.
Yes, but for the blood sugar levels, like we mentioned a while ago, because it's a slower release into your bloodstream, making it easier exactly. for your body to regulate.
Yeah. So for you to say that carbs are not good for your health, that is a total bang. That's wrong.
It's a very big blanket statement that doesn't take into consideration, again, somebody's overall nutrition and also, you know, everything else. And you know, also that, science.
When people say like, yeah, you're saying that carbs aren't bad, but if you look at like so-and-so population, they're unhealthy and obese and blah, 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 blah. Doofus, that's because carbohydrates is our main energy source. So most people will eat it. So, you know, like, duh, everybody eats it because it's needed. So, like, your correlation is, like,
not whacked causation. Out.
It's not yes. causation, yeah. But, yeah. Anyways, next myth. Myth number four is processed and refined carbs are addictive. You take this one. What would you say?
Okay, so we have to look at this in a bigger picture. So first, we have to tackle addiction to food in general. There really isn't enough research to show us that food addiction is a thing, because a lot of food addiction comes from different aspects of your life and also your nutrition in general. Okay, so but let's talk about why processed and refined carbs tend to feel like they are very addictive, in the sense that we want more of it. We can't even stop eating it. Like every time I eat bread, I just can't stop eating bread, you know? So there's usually about three things I look into. And number one is, how are you eating the carbs? Because if you're just eating carbohydrates in their own, they're probably not satiating enough to you, that you will likely want to eat more, you know? So that's one aspect to it. Let's say you're just eating bread on its own, but if you ate the bread with a spread, like a chicken salad sandwich or a egg sandwich or maybe even some peanut butter, that adds a bit more satiety factor to it, making you more full and less likely to eat even more. That's one aspect to it. Number two, restriction of food in general, right?
Yeah.
If you
that
are...
That creates that want... That craving even worse.
Exactly. The all or nothing mindset that really kicks in and they're like, oh, I want more, I want more. So that's, or like, oh, I can't control myself around this food because every time I eat it, I can't stop. But it really does also come from the fact that you barely eat it. And so the time that you do eat it, you end up eating so much because it's like, well, I ruined my diet, might as well eat as much as I can. Or when am I ever going to be able to eat this? I have to eat as much of it as I can. You know, so there is really that restrictive part of it. And then number three is possible blood sugar or underlying health concerns that make us feel or not that be able to process not be able to process carbohydrates properly, making us feel the need for more of it, right? Also, to add to number one, most carbohydrate rich foods are just highly palatable and not satisfying enough. But also a lot of these quote-unquote addictive foods are not just carbs on their own, but we eat them with other foods. So for example, I don't know if you can really be addicted to rice, just rice. Because most of the time you are eating it with what? Ulam. With a viand. Yep. That is mostly salty, very oily, and very strong flavors that you have to eat a lot of rice with to balance it out.
Because if you think about it, right? Oh, I'm so addicted to rice. Okay, let me just see you eat rice by itself. No, you're always looking for something, whether you put soy sauce on the rice or you have to look for a meal with it. Because if it were truly an addiction, then you could go by just eating rice by itself.
Yes, right? I mean, maybe somebody out there does, but...
Does, yeah.
In my mind, I just cannot eat rice on its own. Even if my last bite is just rice, but there's nothing else I can mix with it, I'm just like, I don't want it anymore. It's like, there's no flavor to this, you know? Another aspect, bread. Bread is not carbs on its own because most of the time it is cooked with something else, you know? There's like either some oil in there, maybe some eggs in there. Most of the quote-unquote highly addictive carbohydrates are actually a combination of carbohydrates and fat, being your donuts and your pastries and your cookies, and it's not just carbs on its own. So they mentioned if processed and refined carbs are highly addictive, it's mostly because of its high palatability and its low satiety. And that's why we want to make sure that you're not just satisfying your mental satisfaction of a taste of food, but also that physical aspect with the combination of with fiber and with protein.
And fun fact, the DSM-5, you know, the book that... psychiatrists use to diagnose actually doesn't consider food as an addiction. So,
although there's a lot of research still going through that, because you know there are people who really do feel like they're addicted to food, and it could be in some way, shape, or form linked to like something in the sense of like alcohol and drug addiction, because it's a response. It's like a trauma response where it's your coping mechanism. But then we also take a look at how food is a necessity in your life, and it's kind of hard to draw that line of food addiction and a requirement from your body, whether maybe because it could be deprived as well in that sense.
So I don't think we should call it a food addiction. It should be more of like that's a symptom of an underlying problem, whether it be restriction or a food eating disorder, could be a health issue. A disorder health. Or disease, mental health or disease health, like diabetes. Yeah. So I don't want to call it an addiction per se, but more of a symptom of something underlying.
Yeah. And we'll definitely wait until more about food addiction comes up. But at the moment that you're listening to this, the tendency is for us to feel addicted to food because of something else happening as well.
Yeah, because I used to be really, 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 really addicted, addicted, quotation
marks. Yeah, like you felt like you couldn't stop eating, couldn't trust yourself. Yes.
To like chocolates and candy bars. Yeah, and that's because...
But, and again, going back to chocolates and candy bars, it's actually more of like... It's also fats. Yeah.
Yeah. But like... I think it was mostly because of one, growing up, it's bad for you. That's what they tell you, right? So you want more of it. But now, like, we actually here in our kitchen, in our like literal... what do you call it? Like bar area. We have like a big bowl of just chocolates and candy bar. And in the 2 weeks that it's been there, I think I've only taken one piece of candy or two pieces of candy in those 2 weeks, because it's just like right there. It's like, oh, I don't want it. Or like, oh, it's too sweet. Oh, I don't feel like it. Or I'm just so, I'm satisfied with the dinner or lunch I've had. So I never had that craving of, I want chocolates. But like, if you ask me like 5-10 years ago, it's like, yeah, I would definitely like take a handful and eat it.
Like, I would finish the whole thing. It's not going to be there for that long.
Yeah, exactly.
The same thing with me. I used to have like a whole box of donuts. Like, I couldn't stop at one donut. I'm just like, donut, 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 gobble, gobble, gobble. And now I have, and I thought, so I was definitely afraid of donuts, because like every time I'm faced with a box of donuts, it's gone. But now when I eat donuts, I don't feel the urge to finish it all the time. And sometimes we have a box of 6 donuts and like 4 are still left in the box for weeks until we realize we have to toss it out because nobody touched it, because the abundance mindset has kicked in. And we try our best not to order that many donuts anymore and like be more mindful, but it really just kind of gives us a bit of a perspective of how that scarcity mindset does play a big role.
Yeah, that's true. And myth number 5, carbs make you tired. I don't know. Sometimes it does for me. I don't know if I don't know if that's a myth or not. Like, if I eat too much, I just feel really sleepy sometimes.
That's eating too much in general. You know, it's not always carbohydrates in itself. That's one thing. So carbs makes you tired, I think, comes from the fact that usually when you do eat carbohydrates or you eat a specific meal, and what we think of a high carbohydrate meal is usually like sweets and pastries or like burgers and so on, you will tend to eat a lot in general. Like, you know, maybe you're outside of the house or you had a big bowl of pasta and you ate a lot of it and you would feel tired. So that could come from that. It could come from the amount of food. However, when you eat food in general, like eating in general, makes you tired because once you've eaten, your body shifts modes into rest and digest. And ideally, like, you know, animals, like, yeah, you know, animals like kind of hibernate when they eat, like they eat a lot and then they just like hibernate. It's like, in that sense, like mini hibernation for our bodies of like, okay, you ate. Ideally, you would rest and digest first before you do anything else, but that is not our society or our structure. We are like, eat and go back to work. So that is another thing. You know, when you...
Oh, wait, you're so right. You have the fight or flight or the rest and digest systems. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, thinking about it, it's like, yeah, it is not just about carbs. Like, when you have a big meal, you got to digest it. So your body just wants to like... relax,
like it needs, and let it digest. It needs time. It's just like, it needs time. Let's chill. Give me some time, you know?
That makes so much sense. You know, like, well, here in the States, like, you would have lunch and you would have a big lunch, or your mom made you a sandwich or whatever, and then you would get to your next...
That's so like, specific. Period. Your mom would make you lunch? You mean your whatever. Mom?
Yeah, my mom made me lunch, okay? And then you would get to the next period, and then you would feel sleepy, and then they would, like, blame you for being, like, wake up. It's like, but, like, just had a heavy lunch, or I just had lunch, so, like it's just my body literally telling me that I need to digest this food.
Yeah, that's yeah, really the big aspect of that. There could also be the other part of where sometimes you may feel like a sugar crash, in the sense that your blood sugar really went up as you ate a high-carb meal, and then it dropped down as your body tried to absorb it. So there are also those instances why it could also be linked more to carbohydrates. Although, in general, it is a rest and digest response, and it would definitely depend on how much you're eating, which is why mindfulness of your amount, and the amount that makes you feel energized enough to keep going, rather than food that will just tire you out, you know?
Oh, man. Like, earlier, I had a big bowl of pho with my mom at lunch, and I had to go to work like an hour later, and I just felt so tired.
Mm-hmm. And now, but, you know, yeah. Why.
Now I know why. I mean, I already knew, but like, yeah, you know, it's those little things. Like,
now you know why.
Know why. Yeah, you're right. Thank you.
We just say it differently. No. we know a lot of things. It's just you can't really apply it to yourself sometimes. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's like...
That's why you have a therapist
when it's
you
so need stupid. You're like giving all these advices to people, and it's like, why can't I apply it to myself sometimes?
And that's why we all need a guide and somebody to help us out, you know?
Yep, that's why doctors even need their own doctors, because you can't doctor yourself. And that's the fact.
Therapists need therapists. I wonder if accountants need accountants.
Yeah, they do. I have a friend that's an accountant that has his own accountant.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he does his own accounting, but for the sake of him saving time for himself, he gets a trusted accountant.
He saves time for himself, but he saves time for other people as well, you know? I feel like it just...
That's his job, you know?
I know. It's just so interesting to me, you know, when you really think about it, it's like...
I mean, bankers have their own bankers.
Okay, but depends also on your bank.
Yeah, but like for the most part, I have a lot of friends that have the account somewhere else who are bankers, but they don't bank with their bank. Name they bank drop. With another bank. Just Steve. Oh. I'm just kidding. I don't have a friend named Steve that's
like,
a banker.
It just sounds so funny to you where it's like, okay, an accountant needs time for themselves, so they get an accountant. But what they do is account for other people so that those people can save time for themselves.
But
mechanics, I mean, I'm not judging. It just sounds
mechanic
funny
their
to
own
me.
Car, probably.
Maybe. Right. Okay, anyways, we are done with this episode. Hopefully this deep fried episode gave you a little bit more of an insight towards carbohydrates, help you understand that it is not evil, it is not bad, but actually a very helpful and important part of your overall nutrition.
Yes, and speaking about rest and digest, it's 11:30 p.m. for me here, and I need me some beauty rest. So yeah, let's wrap this up. Carbs aren't bad. Enjoy your carbs, eat a healthy diet, and be happy.
Wow. Yes. Thank you so much for listening to this episode.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
See you next time. Peace.
And that was the end of the episode, the first deep fried episode. We'll be talking about more of your very important topics soon. Let us know more about what you want to hear at the Donut Box Pod on Instagram. But don't forget to follow us here as well so we can keep making episodes. You can also follow me at Estro Sebastian on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, X, and Threads. And you can also follow at healwithjoe.rnd on Instagram for more nutrition things. The Donut Box Podcast is an Anima podcast, so don't forget to follow them as well for the latest pods. Till the next episode, don't forget, you always deserve to eat.